This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp and Dipsy.
This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit with our beautiful faces. Inner Ho Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, a podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho who masks up when I'm outdoors seeing the people.
Yes.
And my pronouns are she as well as her.
And I, Rob, one agender firefighting feminist with a fat tay, pronouns they, them, and dad day.
That's the new Peter Piper picked a pepper. Firefighting feminist fatty. Every episode of the Inner Ho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks, or we deep dive in a topic of our choice. On this episode, our resident agender firefighter speaks on gender reveal party fires. Very ironic. Quit charging LGBTQ people with sex crimes just for being queer. A discussion on dating top secret liars and doing the work to heal trauma and a discussion of the book The Body Keeps the Score.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had on this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Ho Uprising so we can see it and the hashtag pod in so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so by following us at Inner Ho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Ho Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook, and you can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Ho Uprising Community. That's come like ejaculate, C-U-M-M, U-N-I-T-Y. And you can head to innerhouprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, pay a ho, or check out merchandise.
If you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this show, or if you'd like us to host a consent, pleasure, or dating virtual workshop for your organization, we would love to. To book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Now we have a segment that we call Ho of the Week. This is a segment where we shout out the homies who have supported Inner Ho Uprising in the past week. Hoes of the Week get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is to guess the meaning behind their nicknames. This week, we have Jess John, aka J. Jonah Jameson, who writes for Mashable and wrote a rave review of the podcast. And I'm going to take a moment to read it because it was so nice.
So good.
Love that. I mean, love that. Yes. So it was in a roundup of podcasts about sex and relationships and the like, and it was broken down into what it is and why it's great. So Inner Ho Uprising, what it is: one of, if not the most diverse sex and relationship weekly podcast, reclaiming sexual conversations for marginalized identities, orientations, and bodies. Bitch. Just didn't put the bitch, but like, ain't that a bitch? Props where props is due. Lay the roses at our fucking feet. Jess is like that listening to this, like, bitch. These niggas are like very aggressive with their praise and shit.
I didn't say any of that. These bitches are lying. They're diverse liars.
They don't deserve roses. No. That was a very nice thing to say. I think I'll read a little bit of the why it's great. It's impossible for a panel of hosts to represent the full spectrum of human sexuality in all its infinite forms, orientations, intersections, and preferences. But Inner Ho Uprising gets the closest. Nigga. I'm just putting all these expletives. But that's what's at the end of that period. Many sex and relationship podcasts, while inclusive in subject matter and guests, are still predominantly hosted by white, cis, heterosexual, monogamous women. But it's the explicit mission of Inner Ho Uprising to embed as many different identities and experiences of sex and love into the show's foundation. At the top of each episode, all four queer black hosts, or hoes as they prefer to say, start with an intro on how they identify. lie. I'll skip that part because y'all hear that every week.
Yeah, I hear it all the time.
You heard it like 5 minutes ago. everyone can learn something vital through the topics covered, whether it's new relationship energy, hypersexuality. Shout out to Rob for producing the fucking hypersexuality episode. Fat phobia, ethical non-monogamy, or the impacts of racism on sex and motherhood. The rapport is as hilarious as it is welcoming and well-researched. Yes, nigga. Yes, nigga, we research the fuck out of every goddamn episode. Structured around segments like Bay of the Week, Self-Care Tip of the Week, and a listener advice section called Fuck Me and Fuck You. Whew. That felt good to say. It felt good to say all of those words out loud. Thank you very much, man. Jess. And then, because niggas is so goddamn great, we got another review this week. This review was from Rachel Charlene Lewis, whose nickname I nicknamed Come On Home To Me Charlene, like that Anthony Hamilton song.
Come on home to me, Charlene.
Like, whenever I think about songs, I have to listen to it, right? So I put that on YouTube, and the top comment was like, this nigga Anthony Hamilton was like, born in a pot of collard greens.
That shouldn't be that funny.
It's just so silly.
But that's how country he really is.
It was just such a specific, I've never heard someone say something like that before.
So she's not Rachel Collard Greens.
There you go. Shout out to Rachel Collard Greens, who writes for Bitch Magazine and also wrote a rave review of the pod. I will read this one as well. In 2015, Inner Hoe Uprising leaped into the sexual health podcast space. It's a witty program hosted by four queer black feminist 20-somethings that offers advice about everything from sex tech and lube to how to achieve multiple orgasms. Inner Hoe Uprising is especially refreshing considering that most sex podcasts are hosted by straight white women. I love how all these reviews.
Damn. I like to get honest because that's... That be it. That really be it. That's what's on Apple's fucking homepage.
Yuck, 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 yuck. And these hosts are clearly friends. That's also funny. Woo child. Drag them all through the mud. Listening to this podcast feels like hanging out with your funniest and most sexually open friends, which is honestly what we are. So there you go. You're welcome, world. You're welcome. No, but thank you.
Wow, we will say you're welcome at the same time.
Uh-oh. Niggas have too high confidence. No, never too high. Never too much. Never too much.
Beat us down.
So shout out to Rachel Collard Greens for that. Yes. And thank you, Bitch Magazine. And then we got Chef Steph, and that's your nickname because it's already a great nickname. So Chef Steph hit us up on the Instagram and shout us out in like a story post. And I was like, thank you so much. And they were like, oh, thank you. I want to send you guys like THC infused olive oil. And I was like, thank you. I'll take that. And so I'll be sharing that with everybody but Rob.
Wow. You can still...
I mean, I'll share it with you. You can just smell it. So shout out to Chef Steph, who has very appetizing looking meals on their Instagram. And their at is highly favored. Highly flavored? Oh, fuck. Sorry.
It has to be highly flavored.
I'm sorry,
Steph. There's no
way. Now I got to look it up. Damn, did I transcribe that wrong? It is favored, but Steph, we think you should make it to flavored.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, definitely. That's favored. That's a brand. Highly flavored is a brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, their whole brand is already highly favored, though. So now we're like, change. That's like them saying,
well, you can be like highly favored, comma, space, highly flavored.
Oh.
You don't have to pay me. Paid me an infused olive oil that I can't eat. Thank you, Chef.
Yeah,
Steph.
Thank you, Chef Steph. I'll put Chef Steph's actual ad because I'm sure if you're listening, you're like, "What is it? I don't know. What are they saying?"
Now I'm confused.
Yeah, I will put that in the show notes for this episode. Then we got Big Ben. Their real name is Ben H, and Ben H became a patron on Patreon. Thank you, Ben. If you at home or wherever you're listening would like to be a hoe of the week and get a cool nickname, here are some things that you can do. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can feature us in an article you've written, or shout us out on social media. These are some non-monetary ways you can support us. We love monetary and non-monetary support, and we understand that in these uncertain times, monetary support is not feasible for many folks. Do not spend your last dollar on us. That is a command. Don't do it. I will send it the fuck back. But if you can spare some change, you can donate to us on PayPal at paypal.me/innerho. Or you can become a patron on Patreon by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising. You can also purchase the last t-shirt that we have left. because there's only one.
We really got one? I'm dead. What size is it?
It's a small.
All right. Yeah. All right, niggas. You heard Sam.
If you heard it, yeah. Going once, going twice. Also a reminder that if you do become a patron on Patreon, for $2 a month, you can participate in things like our Slack chat, our patron-only film nights, and for $5 a month, you can join our Zoom Monday night hangouts. And at any patron tier, you'll receive access to our episodes a few days early, entry to our workshops and parties, entry to our pre-episode recordings, and we're probably going to do, or I'm going to do, some Halloween Netflix watch parties for the month of October. So definitely join our Patreon community. And now there's an event tonight at the time that you're listening to this, the day this is released, Wednesday, September 16th. Yours truly, that's me, Sam, will be speaking on a virtual panel all about podcasting and an event called Inside the Black Podcasters Studio. This is a virtual podcast creative kickback hosted by Afros and Audio and sponsored by Acast. You can join myself along with two incredibly dope audio producers in the game. We got TK, Tasty Quiche, TK in the AM, and Anthony Frazier. Sorry, Anthony, I don't have many nicknames for you. But those are actually TK's nicknames. So I just can't, like, maybe Anthony just doesn't want to be
Anthony Frazier's AF.
Big AF.
As fuck. Oof. As fuck.
Yes, as fuck. We will share our experiences and insights producing content in today's podcast industry and answer your questions so you can show up for a community of Black podcast creators and professionals showing up for you. That's how community works. Two ways. The link to RSVP will be in the show notes, and I hope to see y'all there. Now! I shine bright in all my different colors, all my different colors. We shine bright in all our different colors, all our different colors. Brooklyn sitter, bad girl killer, known as the baddest, ass ain't the fattest, more than my assets, and I still cause a lot of havoc, but I be on peace and positive energy, still living in a world where folks trying to kill me. Here I be, black woman and queer, created all these rules that I couldn't adhere to. Resilient, but don't ever fuck with my rights. The more I rise, the more they're trying to bring me down, 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 down. How does that song go? When the feeling ain't the same in your body, want you to know, gotta let go, cause the party ain't jumping like it used to. Man, I miss my boat. Let it burn, let it burn, gotta let it burn. And we introduce it with that because we are talking about the gender reveal party fires. All right, Rob.
Can you hear me fine?
Is it OD? I don't think it's OD yet. We can just say there's dogs present and it'd be like that.
Y'all niggas,
this is Quarantino, man. Dogs. Y'all are with y'all's dogs and you know those niggas be barking every motherfucking day at every hour on your Zoom calls.
Your
virtual class and all that shit.
So you know what time it is. Yes. I can't shut these niggas up. I can't put a muzzle on my pups. They're too cute. But so if you don't know what a gender reveal is, quick tidbit.
Lucky
a gender reveal part, right? So you haven't been fucking tainted by the sadness that is the internet. But a gender reveal party is a party that people have to celebrate the gender of their fetus. So it is basically the person who is pregnant will go to the OBGYN, get a sonogram. They'll figure out what kind of genitalia this very small fetus has, and then they'll put it in like a envelope, like a sealed envelope or something. Or sometimes they inform the parent, and then the parent will throw a party and surprise everybody, or sometimes they surprise themselves, right? Does that make sense? You following?
Oh, it makes sense. I just hate it. That's why. I
okay, because yeah, you're sorry. Like squint.
No, I'm like, I'm just disgusted.
Am I wilding right now?
No, it makes perfect sense.
So the way that the gender is revealed, it is by the colors pink and blue. I've never seen any of the variations. Always pink and blue. Pink for a girl, blue for a boy.
And it can range from something as simple as hitting a pinata and blue candy or blue confetti or red, pink candy, pink confetti coming out, or cutting a cake and then the inside of the cake is blue or the inside of the cake is pink. And it's like, oh my God, I'm having a girl. What? And we have a party. But it can also get as bad as shooting a target that is filled with explosives in order to make pink or blue smoke come out, or rigging your exhaust on your vehicle to have pink or blue smoke, or pink or blue. Yes, oh, it gets bad. Pink or blue fireworks, pink or blue smoke bombs.
Pink or blue fucking atomic
bombs. Pink or blue atom bombs.
You do it on a fucking small country in the fucking Pacific Ocean.
A pink or blue nuclear bomb dropped on their own home.
Pink or blue fucking sarin gas.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
It's Agent Orange. No, it's Agent Pink or Agent Blue. You die trying to find out the gender of your
Woo
baby.
Woo, chow.
So, hold on. Let me look through all of my fucking notes.
This is the research. This is what fucking J. Jonah Jameson was talking about. In the meantime, while you're looking for your notes, I want to say that I saw one where, oh my God, it was like a fucking, like a big ass blow up baby came out or something like that. And I believe that blow up baby had a dick, which was weird. And it was just like chasing. It was just a really strange thing to watch. That was the first fire was when I was like, I never liked these, but I was like, this needs to stop this immediately, please.
Extreme. I thought about like, well, I couldn't because I was at work, but I wanted to like see what I could find on YouTube. But then I knew that there were some videos that were just actually pretty sad.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I'll get to
sure.
that too. Yeah. So, but let me just give you a quick origin. The person who popularized, maybe even created kind of in a way, the gender reveal party, her name is Jenna Myers Carfundis.
Okay.
I'm just going to call her Jenna. So apparently she's like a very party person, loves parties. I love parties. So she would throw parties all the time, throw parties for like insignificant things just because she's like a really party person. Mm. Was having trouble conceiving, finally got pregnant. It was very, very important to her. And her family and her husband's family, they were quite distant emotionally and physically. So she wanted to do something to get them together. And I guess that would have been, of course, like prior to the baby shower, because that's usually like a lot further down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So she figured a gender reveal would be a thing that would excite them all and bring them closer as a family.
Mm-hmm.
So she had two cakes. So I'm going to show you the level of calmness that this was. It was two cakes that she baked in the shape of ducklings. And one was pink and one was blue. And then to reveal the gender of her fetus, she cut into the pink one. And it was a girl. And everybody was excited. And one person said, oh, it's like she's just been born. I don't know. That was a little weird. But it's like, no, sis, she cut into a cake. It's not like a baby was born. But, you know, I'm not knocking that. Because that was something that it did genuinely bring. Yes, I do empathize with that. It's something that really did bring that family together at that moment. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't think that was, I would say it was inherently harmful just because of the nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't harmful in a way that it's irreversible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then she wrote about it on a blog, and that was shared. It was printed in maternity magazines and left at OBGYN, so it became very popular amongst pregnant people. And then I think the most popular person that did it, and by the way, this was in 2008.
Oh, wow.
The most popular person that did it was Kate Hudson. She did a video. I think it was a confetti or streamers. She had pop streamers to reveal that she was having a child with a vagina, and then after that it got very popular. And I think maybe over the past, I would say 5 years is when we've been hearing about them getting bigger, better, and better.
The other BBB, the evil BB, that's our nemesis, gender reveal
anti-BBB. you know, it really morphed into something very different. Mm-hmm. And just to give even more of a background or interesting take on it, is that the original child, the OG child, as I call them, her name is Bianca. She does identify as a girl. She uses she, her pronouns. She's 10 years, no, she's 12. At the time of the article that I read, though, she was 10. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure in the past 2 years, things probably even changed even more. But she has a unique gender expression. Mm. The picture that they had posted was of her in a suit.
Mm.
And she, I literally wrote, Bianca be educating her mom on the spectrums of gender and sexuality.
Love to see that.
Saying, like, mom, there's more than two genders and there's more than one sexuality.
Yeah.
And the Jenna was saying, like, this is something that I never considered.
Yeah.
And she felt guilt of implicating her child to automatically be a girl, even though she does not express herself as such as far as binaries go. So, you know. You're cool, I guess. But they took, the gender reveal things took like a wild turn. So let's go to the wildest term, which was a death.
That's when the fucking traditional narrative podcast is like, after the break. But there will be no break here.
There is no break. Last year, a grandmother was killed because a family accidentally, kind of accidentally, but kind of purposely, they created a pipe bomb. What a pipe bomb is,
that one.
Is a pipe bomb is a bomb that is a homemade, it's an ID, improvised explosive device. It's filled with shrapnel, or it creates shrapnel, and the shrapnel usually, like, you know, pierces people, pierces things. And they created a pipe bomb by accident. So when they attempted to set off this colorful explosion, the shrapnel hit the grandmother of the unborn child, and she was killed. And another one, there was a plane, it caused a plane crash. I don't even remember.
I
don't want to read this shit.
These are wild, bro.
I don't like there, and there's so many. There's so many. There was another one where the thing I was talking about where they rigged their exhaust, but the car caught on fire.
Of course it did. Like what else sorry that do, that right? happened, but like, what the fuck are y'all doing out here, bro?
So silly.
Like, this is an episode of Jackass silly. Mixed with like the worst kind of cis heteronormativity.
So another one that caused 45,000 acres of land to catch fire, resulting in $8 million in damages, happened in April 2017. And this was an off-duty deputy in Arizona who shot at a target containing tannerite, which is a highly highly explosive substance. And it's used by long distance shooters. And they placed it with colorful packets of powder so it can fill the air with colorful residue. But when they shot it, the explosion set off a fire. And Arizona is just like California, the brush is dry. Mm-hmm. So as soon as the fire started, it couldn't be contained. Mm-hmm. They try to contain it with water bottles, but what the fuck? Water bottles. So it spread to 45,000 acres of land. So fucking sad. So that was 2017.
That was 3 years
ago. So now let's go to the year of our Lord, 2020.
2020. Low-key, fuck 2020.
Fuck this whole fucking year. So this actually happened this month. Today is the 14th. Let me tell you exactly what day. That happened on September 7th. So really recently.
Oh, wow. It was a week ago. About a week ago.
Bobby. This happened in Los Angeles, California. The couple was expecting a baby and they wanted to share the sex by setting off a smoke bomb. And it was going to send, of course, pink or blue plumes of smoke. But it caused a fire. It lit the dry brush on fire. Like, California is experiencing like one of the hottest summers on record. Everything is fucking dry, everything is lighting on fire, and these niggas were like, oh yeah, let's light a fire near wild grass that is dry and brown
during wildfires.
So it caused a fire that burned through 10,000 acres and forced the evacuation of 21,000 people.
Jesus Christ.
So I,
yo,
that's a lot.
I would be so pissed at these people. Granted, like, it's all fucked up and there's many reasons to be pissed at wildfires, like climate change and all that kind of shit, but like, these, I mean, I can't fight like all oil companies ever who have like led to climate change happening, but I can fucking square up with this
family. Precisely. I mean, it's the thing is, it's like, it's kind of appealing to have a human cause because there's so many wildfires. I mean, there's so many. A 10,000 acre wildfire doesn't really cover the amount of acres that are actually burning in California. It's very, very...
Is it like millions?
It's 2.3 million acres currently burning. So the 10,000 is a little teeny tiny smidge in it. By the way, as we speak, there are approximately 7,718 different wildfires raging across the state of California.
And that's just California. That is just Oregon California. Is on fire.
Arizona is on fucking fire.
Arizona's on fire.
Everybody's on fire. We on fire.
Whole West Coast up in here. It's burning. I've been thinking about an apocalypse song playlist.
That's dark. That's definitely you should do it because obviously it's the darkest timeline.
We got a party. If it's gonna end,
party like it's 1999.
Shout out to Prince.
So the 10,000 is a little teeny tiny smidge in it. However, it's 10,000 acres that could have just not burned. And it's 21,000 people who could have just not been affected. So I pose like questions and definitely feel free to answer. So one question was, are gender reveals inherently wrong? And my answer is yes. It's like revealing the kind of child you're having instead of just saying I'm having a baby. And the inherent wrongness in it is, so now that you've gendered the shit out of this baby, what happens when the genitalia doesn't match? The doctor was wrong. Yeah. The child is intersex. Would you have doctors remove genitalia to match the gender you prefer? Do you see the issue?
There you go.
So what do you think about that?
I also agree that it's inherently wrong for all of the reasons that you stated. Also, I think that the world is not actually black and white. And so while I wouldn't have a gender reveal party, I don't even remember what the fuck I was listening to. It could have been her podcast. It could have been her on somebody else's podcast. It could have been her YouTube channel. It could have been that live show y'all did. But Diamond from Marsha's Plate was just talking about gender reveal parties, not just as in it happened yesterday or something like that. But she was speaking about them and she said that, I believe she said that she would have one. And Diamond herself is trans. And so I'm like, I can't, in the same way that, like, and I've been thinking about this since we had our first ever episode together, the agender episode. I am personally, because I've seen what the concept of gender, quote unquote, has done to society, I'm personally drawn to a genderless society or a gender is not a concept that really matters society. But in saying that, I'm kind of taking that away from trans people who want to identify with a particular gender. So I feel like I can't say like fuck gender reveal parties if I've heard someone who I'm like extremely like I look up to Diamond and she's trans and I heard her say that and I'm like, okay, I feel like there's just nuance there, you know?
Yes.
Because I know that Diamond's not transphobic.
Yes. I don't think that gender reveal parties are, I mean, I do think inherently they are transphobic. But yeah. I don't think that they are inherently evil or inherently harmful. Being wrong doesn't mean that it's necessarily harmful. It can be harmful and it can be evil, but it can also be innocent, like Jenna and her original gender reveal, which was very innocent. And it wasn't necessarily harmful in a way that finding out the assigned gender at a regular ultrasound appointment and proceeding as such and just doing the regular things that you would do if you had a girl or a boy, that's the same kind of harm that her gender reveal had. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't something like extreme. And the other one was, there was a video. And I think there was a couple of videos. There's probably several of videos or hundreds of videos. But I remember these two specific videos, but I can just tell you about one because the other one's almost the same. There was a gender reveal party. This was a black couple. And I think the other one might have been like a Latinx couple. But when the color or whatever reveal they had, when it went off and it was revealed that the person was having a girl, the father was pissed, visibly upset. One, like, I think, like, stormed away, like, mid fucking celebration. The other one was just, like, visibly upset. And besides the fact that, A, that's fucking weird, B, it tells me that you are already placing stereotypes on your child, and that's why you're so mad. Because now you think you're going to raise some, I mean, you are, but you're mad that you're going to raise a child with a vagina that will eventually be sexually active. Or you're mad that you're going to raise a child who will be sexualized. Or it's basically you putting everything that you feel about women onto your child and mad that you have to deal with that at some point and knowing that you don't know how to deal with it. And that in itself is very wrong. It's super problematic. And also it pains me to think that nothing goes away on the internet. And one day this child is going to see that video and say, why was my father so fucking mad that I was just...
I was just me being born the way that I fucking am, bro.
I wasn't even a thing. You were
a large collection of cells.
Literally, 3 months, you could still get sucked out at that point. Like, it's really not, that wasn't fair. And gender reveals, they implicate that kind of harm, which is assigning all the stereotypes inherited in a gender before a child is even a child, before a baby is even a baby. You're given this thing that has no heartbeat, that has no brain, that just kind of has a penis, kind of has a vagina. You're still not 100% sure, and you're saying, like, this is it, and I already don't fucking like it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I agree with everything that you said. I think you said that in a very all encapsulating nuance way. I also saw one that was the mom being mad. It was a black mother. And this actually adds like a weirder level on top of what you're saying, in that whoever organized the gender reveal party for her tricked her. So they had it as like pink sparkles, like she was having a girl, and she went off. She was so fucking mad. She was like crying, cursing, and all this kind of shit. And then they did a double reveal, and it was like, oh no, you're actually having a boy. Here's the blue. And she was like crying. And it's just like,
she's crying because she felt silly.
No, she was crying because she was happy that she was having a boy.
Oh, that's nobody gross.
Nobody in that situation, as far as I know, and that's, I guess, just the cameraman, the people who were on camera, and her, questioned that any of this was very fucking weird.
Nobody was, and like, bitch, like, she was just crying because she was about to have another kind of baby.
Right. Another brand. And like, this is like, because I think like maybe someone who's like opposing what we're saying could say something along the lines of, oh, it's not, other than those two dads, the whole point is not whether you're happy or not at a particular gender. It's just a celebration of the gender regardless. But everybody in her fucking life knew that she wanted a boy child, whatever that means, and that she would be that pissed if she saw that the color was pink and she was having a girl child.
Which says a lot.
Which is like, and instead of being like, hey, man, like, you're having a fucking kid, like, you're bringing a life into this world, like, you better love that baby regardless. They were like, no, we're actually going to play on the fact that she doesn't want a girl child and that she's probably fucking misogynistic and has internalized misogyny, and like, make a joke out of it. Because you don't prank somebody with something that you don't think that they're going to, like, not care about. Mm-hmm. So that's really fucking weird. But I agree with what you said.
That's very weird. It's so weird. It's like, it's a baby. Let the baby just come out the coochie and just be a baby. I mean, I mean,
but babies are like not babies, because even after babies are born, like, oh, little man, you're going to be a killer. You're going to get at him one day. Well, look at this handsome man. Look at my little husband.
Yeah.
Like, people are just fucking weird, which is interesting when it comes to what our next story is going to be with consumers.
Yes. With girls and their mothers, it's like, I've always wanted a girl, and the rest of the senses is so I can raise them in the way that I was raised or the way that I wanted to be raised. And a lot of the things that I read is like, oh, so we can do this and we can do that. Like, we can do these girly things, like do our nails and have spa dates and go here. And I just want to buy them all pink and all princesses. And these are things that I've literally read verbatim. And people saying, mm-hmm. I don't see the issue with that. And it's like, you like find friends. Find a group of fucking friends. You don't need to have a baby to do that stuff. And that's fucking weird. And then you're going to set yourself up for disappointment when your child don't want to do that shit. I didn't want to do that shit. I wanted to paint my nails, but I didn't want to go and do that shit with my mom. I wanted to do it in my room. And then I want to hang out with my mom and do girly things. Like, that wasn't my thing. I wanted to hang out with my father. But my mother wasn't disappointed. She didn't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. But you'd be disappointed if you built this all up in your head that I'm going to have, it's going to be, this bitch about to be my bestest friend coming out this coochie. And she's like, this is not the things that I'm into. And then what? You're going to resent your fucking child? Mm. If that is, like, just, like, why not just have a child and experience what just having a child is like and being a parent is like and going with the flow? And I know that we are in America. We are in a very binary society. And saying that is way more simple to just say than to actually do, because this is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years that you'd have to unlearn. And I do understand that, and I empathize with that, and that's why it's not like, yo, I haven't literally said, yo, fuck gender reveal parties, because I understand how important it can be to people. However, it's like, have we ever discussed an alternative? Like, when you're 3 months pregnant and you get the ultrasound and you can actually see ahead, you know, you could have a party then. Like, I'm pregnant. You have to understand that you're dealing with a literal life. Like, this is an actual being that will be autonomous from you when you are done with this term of pregnancy. And it all has to be considered when you're doing something that obviously will be recorded, more than likely will be shared on social media, more than likely people who this person will never meet will see, and they will see at some point, and you want them to see something that they can be proud of, and something that can make them feel good and feel loved. Like, when I see my mom's little baby shoes for my baby shower, it's just baby shoes, but the party favorite was just like a little white pair of baby shoes. That was it.
Yeah.
And I fucking love it. I love to look at it because I'm like, I used to have little ass baby feet. That made me feel good. But I can't say if I saw a mad pink shit, if I would feel as good, because I know that if my mom was like really pent on me having like a little girl and doing like little girl shit, she would have been super disappointed, because that wasn't it, sis.
Yeah.
I was out there taking my shirt off. Like, why can't I have my shirt off? The fuck, we none of us got titties.
That's true. One additional thing that I wanted to say with like the mother being disappointed that she can't do all of these things with her girl child, quote unquote, it's like she's also counting out whether or not a quote unquote boy child will want to do that with her.
True.
So it's like, you're just fucking your kids over, man.
It's like, if it's like
these expectations,
you're right. If you have a boy who is not as masculine as you want them to be, who doesn't want to play sports, who wants to just, who not even necessarily feminine, just doesn't want to fucking do hyper masculine ass shit, just wants to be a child. Like, niggas off rip, yeah, I'm gonna have a fucking little football player. You're probably not.
Niggas always do want a football player or a basketball player.
There's people who force their child to play sports when they fucking hate sports, and they'll do it, and they'll keep doing it, and they'll go to college doing it, and when they get to college and get that freedom, they'd be like, yo, fuck everything, I am wilding. And that starts from the womb. When I have a baby child, none of y'all niggas wanna know what kind of baby I'm having, what brand of baby I'm having. And I really want to see
what is in between your baby's legs.
Because that's what people are
going
to ask.
That is really what it is.
I'm going to have, put down the shit for the baby shower, and then people are going to say, well, what is it?
Then you got to just like, you got to be very, very, very scientific about it. Like, this is their genitalia. This is what chromosomes they have. I do not yet know how they will present in terms of gender expression. I do not yet know how they will identify in terms of gender identity. And they're just like, oh, okay.
All right.
I'll get something green.
Maybe it's just going to be tight. They're going to get off the phone like, this fucking crazy ass bitch. Man, fuck y'all. Fuck y'all niggas. Now I'm saying it. Fuck gender reveals. Fight me. Just kidding.
Wait, not kidding. Is that an episode title? Fuck gender reveals, period. Fight me. Exclamation point.
Not Diamond. Don't fight me. Yeah. Diamond, you can do whatever the fuck you want to do. If you want to start a fucking forest fire in Texas, you go, about to drop my damn mic. You go do that shit, Diamond. If we burn 47,000 acres, it's definitely a girl.
10, it's 000, like over under. Yeah.
10,000, boy. Definitely a boy. Gotta.
Is this conversation in this episode so far resonating with you? Is it helping you learn some new shit, helping you unlearn some old shit, like your ideas about gender, or allowing you to have a good ass time? What's that you say? It is? Oh my God. Well, we love to hear that. Fucking Jadakiss is here. We would also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, you can take a moment right now, open up the app. Mm-hmm. All right, go to Inner Hoe Uprising. Scroll down. There you go. Right. Click subscribe to us. Then scroll down some more. Put 5 stars in that little 5-star thingy. Then scroll down a little bit more. Hit write a review and start writing how much you love this show.
I love these niggas.
I believe the politically correct term is nakers.
Oh yeah, my fault.
Thank you. If you have some extra change in your pockets, you can drop some cash in the PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho, or you can come join our Patreon community and access our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month. That's patreon.com/innerhouprising, the link to which is in the show notes. Or you can just hit up your friend and say, yo, listen to this podcast. This is a really good podcast. We thank and love you all for your continued support. If you are listening to this in the year of our Lord 2020, chances are something is happening that might be getting you down, whether it be the pandemic, the entire West Coast of the United States burning, the social injustice, grief, relationship troubles, or something that you can't even name or identify but just feels weird or bad. A lot of us are going through a lot right now. And as someone who has been through my fair share of quote-unquote a lot, something I really appreciate to help me through has been the online therapy service BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. This is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account at any time and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today, as do we here at Inner Hoe Uprising. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted on the daily. And you can also go to betterhelp.com/IHU. That's betterhelp.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising. And join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are actually recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
Wow.
So we have a special offer for Inner Hoe Uprising listeners, and that is that you can get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/IHU. Now we're getting into some more news. The second piece of news that we're talking about this week is the fact that California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed a bill changing sex offender law as it pertains to queer folks. So I was trying to figure out how to break this down in a way that made sense, and I didn't, so I just took a direct quote from the San Francisco Bee. Shout out to the San Francisco Bee, because you wrote it better than me. Bars. Anyway. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill into law on Friday, I believe, that is aimed at creating parity in criminal sentencing for young LGBTQ people who have sex with other young LGBTQ people. So the previous law was that judges were allowed to make case-by-case considerations when it comes to whether an adult is convicted of having vaginal sexual intercourse, keep that in mind, whether or not an adult convicted of having vaginal sexual intercourse with a minor should register as a sex offender in cases in which the minor is 14 years or older and the adult is not more than 10 years older than the minor. Yes, it sounds dicey. We're going to get into that. So that provision in the law said that, but judges were not allowed to make those considerations when it comes to oral sex and anal sex. Now I want you to start thinking about who has P and the V sex and who might just have oral sex or anal sex. Queer people, not so queer people. So prior to this bill being signed on Friday, if you were a 16-year-old who had sex with a 18-year-old, then the 18 and you had anal sex, the 18-year-old would automatically be registered as a sex offender. Whereas if a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old had vaginal penetrative sex, then the 18-year-old would at least get the consideration of the judge to find out whether or not the judge deems it a sexual offense that has to be on your record for your entire life.
And now that the bill is signed, there's consideration.
For oral sex and anal sex, yeah. And okay. Now also vaginal sex, because that has existed since 1944.
Okay.
So, yes, this sounds super dicey. Let's talk a little bit about the reasoning. So the legal provision in general is meant to account for situations like an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old with a 17 or 16-year-old girlfriend, boyfriend, or joyfriend. I'm going to read a quote from the bill's author, who is State Senator Scott Wiener, who's a Democrat from San Francisco. And he said the intent of SB 145, that's the name of the bill, is to address cases in which two young people close in age, an 18-year-old and a 17-year-old dating in high school, for example, are in a sexual relationship. The 18-year-old can still be convicted of a sex offense if it indeed is, as interpreted by the judge. He didn't say that. That was my little interjection. But should not automatically be registered as a sex offender, a lifelong designation that is an impediment to finding employment, a place to live, or other necessities in life. So yeah, it is inherently, the way that this bill has been in existence since 1944, is inherently discriminating against queer people. So a cishet couple close in age would be granted the consideration for the 18-year-old, for example, to not be registered as a sex offender, while a queer couple would not be granted that same consideration. And if we like look a little bit deeper, that is inherently saying that queer sex is more morally wrong than not queer sex. Why does it a lot for the 10-year age gap, though? So I didn't see any particular reasoning for that. I have my own theories, which I'll posit about later. But I just think that a 3-year age gap would make a lot more sense and probably bring about a lot less discomfort when it comes to this law in general and just the law being in existence, to be honest. But then, because that age gap is there, there are people who are opponents of the bill, and the majority of what they're saying is that this bill protects pedophiles. So we have a Democrat assemblywoman named Lorena Gonzalez of San Diego who wrote, "I cannot in my mind, as a mother, understand how sex between a 24-year-old and a 14-year-old could ever be consensual, how it could ever not be a registerable offense." She said that during a debate about the bill on August 31st and continued, "I challenge everybody, give me a situation where a 24-year-old had sex with a 14-year-old, any kind of sex, and it wasn't predatory." And the interesting thing about that is that that provision was already there for not queer folks. And I don't think that she had a record of saying, let's just rewrite this in general. You know, so it seems a bit targeted to now, but I don't know what her reasoning was. Maybe she didn't know it existed. The state Senate Republican leader Shannon Grove of Bakersfield also denounced the bill, posting on Facebook after it passed, saying that California Democrats had quote unquote placed protecting sexual predators over protecting our children. The rebuttals of the bill, I think, are summed up by what the bill's author, Scott Wiener, or Weiner, says. He responded, and this was in an LA Times article, so I'm just going to read the quote from the LA Times article. He noted that the 10-year age difference provision in California sexual offender registry law has been on the books for decades, specifically since 1944, and said that none of the lawmakers criticizing the bill have attempted to change the law to adjust to address judicial discretion in cases involving heterosexual sex with a minor. And then he's quoted saying, "If it's been a problem, people would have heard about it. You would have had district attorneys complaining about it. It didn't become a problem until the gay people came forward and said, please treat us the same way." So I'm going to give my 2 cents, and then Rob, floor is open for your 2 cents, and then everybody listening at home or wherever you are, floor is open for your emails and stuff like that. I think there's a few things happening here, and this is, it deserves a nuanced conversation, as everything deserves a nuanced conversation, but there have been conspiracy theorists coming in and like particularly using it as a polarizing topic, which I'm going to get into in my two cents. But I think that that's why maybe some people would be scared of having that nuanced conversation, because you don't want to give credibility to uncredible conspiracy theories. But I mean, we can't let bullshit stop us from speaking about things that are important. So I personally think there's a few things that are happening here. I think, yes, homophobia is a thing, and it's just so inherent in our society that you can't unwrite, you can't write that out of any situation. Just like, even if somebody doesn't think they're being racist, racism is a thing, and that has to be considered. So yeah, just bar none, homophobia is a thing, and we have to think about that when we think about how people are responding to this. Also, at this point in time, especially in this country, any polarizing political point that a side can run with, they will. So something that sounds so disturbing out of context, like all Democrats are pedophiles because they're trying to do this law where a 10-year age gap is not necessarily indicative of somebody being registered as a sex offender, is something that can easily be used to get votes. I do think that the 10-year thing is weird. And I think that it's a relic of the time that it was written into law, which was 1944. Like, we're talking like times when spousal rape was not illegal. Like, we're talking like when many states still had like anti-miscegenation laws, or is it miscegenation laws, on the books. Like, this is a totally different time, 1944, even though it was only, is that 60 years?
Years?
No, it's 80 years.
It's okay.
Everything base is 2000. Yeah, so times have definitely changed, and I think people are a lot more understanding when it comes to minors and consent. And I do think that the law should be reevaluated and that the age gap should be closed significantly. From a legal perspective and from a perspective of law writing and how tedious that is and how you have to get multiple people to pass it and things like that, mm-hmm. I could potentially see that being like something that they didn't want to do in terms of bureaucracy if judges are actually upholding it in a way that is morally sound today. So if a judge was like literally like the 14-year-old thing and didn't make the 24-year-old be registered as a sex offender, I think probably people would be a lot more vocal about the law. And my hunch, and I'm not sure, if you are astute in like legal dealings in LA, let me know. But my hunch is that these egregious cases aren't happening. So that's why they're not trying to rewrite something that was written in 1944. But I think just as like a society that wants to protect young people at some point, like change that shit, because it sounds weird. What do you think?
My idea is yes, the 10-year gap is significant.
Mm-hmm.
I agree to an extent of when, the assemblywoman Gonzalez said, like, I can't fathom how a 24-year-old and a 14-year-old could ever have consensual sex.
I agree with that. Yeah.
No matter how the sex is had. That mm-hmm. is very true. I would want there to be a thought process in at what age can you say that this person is aware of the moral wrong that they are doing?
Which person?
The person who's having sex with the younger person.
Okay.
Like, at the age of 18 and you having sex with a 16-year-old, like, is that an age that you can say that this person understands that that is morally wrong?
I don't even think that that's morally wrong.
No, I don't. But I'm saying that that's, like, where's the cutoff?
Right? Oh, for understanding.
Yes,
okay.
Where's the cutoff? Because when you have that super long, like 10 years, that's a very long time. And when you're 24, yeah, you definitely should have an understanding that having sex with somebody who's 14, 16, 18 is morally wrong.
So that's why in my head, at like 3 was not really an arbitrary number for me. Like, I mm-hmm. put some thought into that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that in terms of like minor and adult,
mm-hmm.
I don't think someone 17 should be having sex with anybody older than the age of 20.
I agree. And that is
because, like,
where
there's just like having been those ages and still remembering being mm-hmm. those ages,
you
there's
know.
Just a stark difference that happens.
There's a difference
once you're
that.
Over 19. Yeah, these are all differences. So, like, mm-hmm. that's why, like, the 3-year thing kind of like cuts 14-year-olds out of it. I don't really think a 14-year-old should be having sex with an 18-year-old.
No.
And I mean, remembered being 14 and 18, I don't think
exactly.
that those are two.
Being 14
I don't think those are...
and being 18, I had a very different understanding of sex.
Yeah.
very different understanding of sex.
And a very different way to like navigate the world and like enforce like my power, honestly. So like, I'm not a manipulative person. I don't manipulate people, but I think it'd be a lot easier for me to do so at 18 than 14.
Correct. Because you do have a certain amount of power that just comes inherent with your age.
Exactly.
And comes inherent with the knowledge that you've gained navigating through the world because you've been all and of your those
bigger
ages.
Body size. Like,
there's a lot of
things.
Sometimes you know you're the same little nigga because I was the same little nigga.
I have been this height since sixth grade, but I got like bigger. I got bigger in terms of weight.
Yes, I did get bigger. Did I? No, I wasn't. I was pretty much the same size for a really long time. But however, but even still, I learned how to use my body differently.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there is a big difference. Now I am, you know, still, I'm happier that it's an even playing ground.
Right.
So it's like, in that sense, like, yeah, you did a partial good thing, but also it's like, it, just like you said, it's dated. The whole law in general is dated. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, cool. Now you're not discriminating, but you're still allowing people to be put in a position of danger because you mm-hmm. have 24-year-olds that you're considering. Maybe they're not a sexual predator having sex mm-hmm. with a 14-year-old. Yeah, you fucking are. Mm-hmm. Whether or not that's queer sex or straight sex, any kind of sexual act, any kind of real physical attraction that you're having to a child is predatory. The part in your brain that controls impulses and controls, like, basically your fucking moral being almost completely developed at the age of 25 and you being that close to that stage and still deciding to make a decision.
Yeah.
To do something with a child it's still pretty fucking wrong. I think that this is just like a really weird situation where it's like you did a good thing, but you still didn't do a good thing. Like you did an okay thing by not sentencing queer people to like to solitude and isolation for the rest of their lives, but you didn't do a good thing because you're still not protecting minors, any kind of minor.
At home, let us know. These are the tough conversations that need to be had. And if you are like somebody who's well versed in just law in California, I'm just curious to know how this law was breaking down. You know, like, so if that never happened, like if it was never an egregious case, well, it probably was an egregious case. But let's say like in the past 20 years, that statute hasn't been used in an egregious way. And it was only like, oh, 17, 19. I'd be like, okay, I'm not mad at you guys, but like still change it at some point. But if it's like, if people are falling through the cracks, man, you gotta make some moves. You gotta make some moves.
You do.
Folks, especially when they're of color and they're black and brown, they be being sexualized when they're 14. And Absolutely. That is a very, that is a way that I see this provision being used. She came on to me.
Yeah, I mean, it is the tough conversations, but they are the conversations that need to be had, and they have to be had in order for things to change.
Right, and they have to be had with, like, the actual context and the actual factuals. But no, seriously, like, the actual facts. So, like, if you just, because there's, I didn't want to get into this because I don't want to give platform to conspiracy theories on this platform, but like there's a hashtag associated with it, and I've seen people like misusing the hashtag, or perhaps they don't know what they're sharing and things like that. Mm-hmm. And now like we get into this fucking misinformation disinformation bubble. And I remember hearing a fact a couple of weeks ago that was like, when you see like a false headline or something like that, most people are going to believe that headline even after corrections are made. So like your first instance with, or your first interaction with particular information is what you're going to hold. And now it's bad if people hear about it and they're like, this means the Democrats have like an underground child sex ring or something like that. And that's not what the bill's author was intending. Like he was actually trying to protect like young queer people.
Yeah,
he actually gives a fuck about young people.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's like conversations need to be had, and they need to be had with like what's actually going on and what's not actually going on. So, but yeah, so media literacy, man, I'll drop some media literacy links in the show notes once again. I love sharing those.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, you guys are welcome.
It took me back.
Okay, let us go into our next segment. That segment is called Fuck Me and is about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. And now Rob is going to talk to us about working to heal from trauma and talk about a book.
We talking about doing that work.
Do the work. And
I'm talking about doing that work specifically because I have finally admitted to myself that I do not like doing that work.
I mean, labor don't. Is not fun. I think labor is the opposite of fun. Yeah.
That shit do not, it don't be hitting. I do be having the work. And I've realized how, I mean, I've noticed this throughout like my whole existence, but I've noticed this through like other things, like being in the gym with somebody who I didn't trust that they were more knowledgeable than me. So they tell me to do something. I'd be looking at them like, that's not how you do it. Or even at work, like when somebody be doing something that I just don't fucking agree with, like I think it's silly or something, and I'll do it, but then I won't be happy about it, be fucking resentful, or I'll just be like, why are we doing this? This doesn't make a lot of sense, even though I should trust in them, mm-hmm. because they're not doing anything to harm me, mm-hmm. and there's no harm coming out of me, I don't know, cleaning off a table that doesn't really need to be cleaned. There's no harm. It's annoying, but there's no harm in it, but I feel like entitled to just not doing things, even though people are trying to do these things to help me. And then I found myself feeling that same way in therapy. My therapist tells me to do things that I just don't like it. And
that's a part of therapy.
I guess. I mean, I think it would be a part of therapy if I would admit it.
Okay.
But I wouldn't admit it. I'd just be like going along with it. And then like back in my head, I'm like, this is so silly. Mm-hmm. Like this isn't going to help me. Even though it's like, my therapist isn't telling me this to, like, hurt me. And, like, what's the worst that's going to happen? If I do it, like, I'm not going to have a panic attack by doing these things that my therapist is telling me to do. It's either going to help me or it's not. Mm-hmm. One or the other. Yeah. One of the things recently was, because I did have a panic attack recently, which is, they're very far and few now, but they still happen. Especially now just being overwhelmed with doing literally four things at once sometimes. It does become a lot. And I was walking home from the car and she told me to, and this is something that she probably heard of, but like practicing like mindfulness and being present. So she wanted me to talk about what I saw and what I heard and what I smelled. I was like, oh my God, like, oh, I see cars. I see grass. What do I hear? I hear people. I hear cars. What do you see now? I see birds. I see pigeons. I see the little brown shits. Like, you know, like I wasn't trying. Really wasn't trying. And I didn't see like
the point.
No, I didn't see the point. Like I had mad pride. Like, oh, this is, I really was in my head thinking like, this is very stupid. And almost like as if I'm smarter than her. Like, oh, I've tried this before and it didn't work, so I'm not trying this now. I gave it no effort. And until I found myself on the rig, the fire truck. And sometimes when I'm on the fire truck, it's probably a traumatic response that I have. Sometimes when I'm on the fire truck, I start to think very, what's the word?
Intrusive.
They are extremely intrusive and they're very like, they just jump. It will happen over and over and over and over again. I will have maybe 7 different cycles of those kinds of thoughts, mm-hmm. in maybe 30 seconds. It is fucking overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I always like, I'll try to like deep breathe to stop it or, you know, like look around to stop it. And then today I was like, let me
try what this motherfucker done told me.
Bitch, that shit worked.
Yeah.
It worked. It worked every time. And I was like, what do I smell? What do I see? What do I hear? And I'm like, if you started to do the work a year ago, imagine where you would be now. Now, I'm not discounting myself because you do it when you do it. You do it when you're ready. So I'm ready now and I'm doing it now. Mm-hmm. But more so, if, like, I have to also take accountability of myself because this is something that I've known about this technique for years.
Mm-hmm.
Years. I've actually taught other people to do this shit, but I felt like it never worked for me.
Yeah.
And here I am actually doing it and here it is actually working. And that is a part of, honestly, like, doing the work, taking accountability for your own healing process. Because a therapist is not going to heal you. Yeah. They may facilitate healing, mm-hmm. but it's really up to you. Because talk therapy isn't where it ends. You can talk about everything that happens in your life, every little piece of trauma that you've ever been through. But there's other steps you have to take in order to heal. Healing just doesn't come from talking.
Yep.
Healing comes from changing things in your life, noticing your behaviors, but not just noticing them, but actively working to change them.
Mm-hmm.
That has been a lot of what I've been going through in the past month, actively really trying to force the change in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. So me deleting my Instagram was me trying to force the change in a healthy way, because it forced me to keep in touch with people who did not care about me.
Instagram did?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I get what you're saying.
In a way that people who had my phone number and even knew where I lived, if I was on Instagram, they would watch my story, but we would never talk. I know I do have an issue with keeping in touch with people that I probably shouldn't be talking to, and keeping in touch with or allowing people who do not deserve to have access to me to have access to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier for right now to just remove the whole mechanism. And then once I start to understand things, either implement new boundaries or decide whether maybe I can just deal without it and continue. And even trying with dating and understanding the way that I navigate dating, not just like the people that I date, but also taking responsibility for the people I date. So I'm like, if I am dating the same kind of person over and over and over again, it's not all men are like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna say that all men are like this, especially when I know men who aren't like that. But I know that I tend to gravitate towards a certain kind of man, and certain kind of men tend to gravitate towards me. And there's a reason for that. It's not just as simple as fate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I have to change. Even if that means completely pulling away from dating and going back when I feel I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading this book. It's called The Body Keeps Score: Brain, Mind, and Body in the Healing of Trauma by Bessel van der Kolk, MD. This person is German.
Van der Kolk.
And this book is especially good for people who like a scientific approach to trauma, not just a emotional approach and a spiritual approach, but an actual scientific explanation to the actions and the mechanisms that go on within your body in response to trauma and how your body holds trauma. And it also helps you realize the different things that you might do because of your trauma. I didn't realize, because I know that on paper it says that I have PTSD, but I never thought of myself as a person with PTSD. But then me reading about people who have traumatic experiences and them doing MRIs as they read back a recording of their traumatic experiences and how their heart rates and all the areas in their brain, like their reaction parts of their brain, all these things would fire as if they were actually there. Like if it was a car accident, their body was responding as if they were actually in that car accident at that time, and they were witnessing the things that were happening at their time, and they would have the symptoms of like being, you know, sweaty, racing heart, you know, out of breath, even though they were laying down in an MRI. And me thinking about when, by the way, me, Sam, and the Queensborough Public Library, we did a podcast episode where I spoke about COVID. And this is where a lot of that connection happened too. And I listened to myself, just like them listening to the recording, I listened to myself recount the trauma that I had during the pandemic. And I found myself having the same kind of reactions that I had when I was going through the pandemic. And I didn't even realize the kind of reactions that I was having. And the reactions that I was having were anger, paranoia, and fear. And I exhibited all that shit very quickly for like 3 hours. I was in a state of fucking panic. Thank God for Sam. She talked me out of that shit. Or like, well, not talked me out of it, but reminded me, helped me ground myself.
Yeah.
Like, you relax and deal with it tomorrow.
Yeah. And like, where yeah. are you right now? Is this a present danger? Like that kind of thing.
Yes. Like, is the way that you're thinking, the thoughts that you're having, can you do anything about any of it right now? And if you can't do anything about any of it right now, put it away and see what you can do about tomorrow, if there's anything to do about it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're calm by tomorrow and you realize, oh, you might realize that this was an overreaction, or you might realize maybe there is something I could do to mitigate the paranoia that I have. Like, we don't know, but the fear that I had was irrational. It was definitely irrational paranoia and fear that I exhibited. But then when I started reading this book, then I realized, like, oh shit, that was me, like, literally slipping into a traumatic space.
Mm.
And it helped me kind of forgive myself for it. Not that I, like, was mad at myself, but I was kind of mad at myself. Like, why did I even allow myself to get that fucking worked up? And for what? And it's not like I just got worked up. I started neglecting things. My dog has epilepsy. She needs medication every few hours. And I actually forgot to give it to her because I was so fucking worked up. I think I listened to that episode at like 6 p.m. By the time I was finally calm enough to like chill, it was 10 o'clock. I didn't even eat because I was so fucked up. So, but reading this, it helped me put it into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as I am a person who relies heavily on biological explanations for the things that I feel in my body and my brain.
Yeah.
So if you are a person like that, or if you're just a person who's curious about what people who have trauma go through and how the body doesn't forget trauma, even if you forget it, your body doesn't forget it. So how it builds up in the body, in the ways that it is exhibited, in the ways that it's treated, it just has a plethora of knowledge that isn't biased. It's just facts. And that it's not overbearing in a way that you get sad reading it. It's like in a way that it's like, it can give you hope. But more than anything, it can help you look back into yourself and then also look at the people around you and help you understand how other people navigate the world. Shout out to Bessel van der Kolk.
9999. Sorry, that's the only German that I know. Shout out to Deutschland for giving us Besser van der.
We van der Kolk.
Kolk.
We appreciate you, white man. You get approximately one kudo. One kudo.
Thank you for writing about all of the trauma you've inflicted upon my people just by being a white man.
Damn,
you fucking asshole.
I'm dead.
just cursing out people who have done good things.
Like, I can't shame him. He's holding me down. The one thing that I haven't got to in this book, though, is about like specific trauma as far as being a minority. Talks about trauma in a general way. So I do hope that at least a portion of this book explores the trauma that is only the drama that is exclusive to Black people and Black women and Black trans people, because that is a very exclusive kind of trauma that other people experience some forms of, but we experience continuous forms of.
Right. I think maybe that's a, it might not be his book to write, you know, it might be a Black, I don't know what he is, but someone who studies the brain. Yeah, it might be someone who is Black building upon his work, which
I hope.
Thank
so.
You for the and laying ground.
If you are like, if you also, if in general, if you have books like this, books of this nature, especially books written by Black people, people of color, definitely drop them, because all niggas got is time right now. Well, not really. But when I do got time, I got time. So I do spend that time trying to at least be, you know, productive in many different ways. But one of the ways is reading and trying to, you know, put a little bit more knowledge in this big ass dome of mine.
Nice. Thank you for breaking that down and sharing with us how you've grown and are working on yourself. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
With a C and a U and an M.
Exactly. You already knew. Well, now we need your efforts once again. I need you to put on your best phone sex operator voice.
Do you have a lot on your mind? In times of stress or anxiety, it can be hard to remember to take time to focus on yourself. But your joy and pleasure are so important, especially right now. Put your well-being first with Dipsy. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions that are designed to turn you on and help you get in touch with yourself. The stories are relatable and immersive, so you feel like you're right there, and there's something for everyone, whoever and whatever you're into. They add new content every week, so there's always more to explore. Find stories about a spontaneous hookup with a hot stranger, getting close with that sexy yoga instructor you can't stop thinking about, or even stories about trying that new toy together or getting tied up. The wellness sessions can also help you unlock new confidence or heighten intimacy with your partner. They add new stories every week so you never get bored. So spice things up today with Dipsy. And for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/IHU. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipseastories.com/IHU. dipsystories.com/IHU.
Oh, yeah. We got Freak Nasty up in here. Sorry, dude.
And I definitely, girl, I love me some fucking audio erotica. I don't know what's been going on, but audio erotica has been hitting. And Dipsy about to get that word.
Over and over again. There you go, tonight. Yeah. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. So we have to move on to our next segment, and that segment is called Fuck You. It is the segment where we read your listener letters. It's not the segment where we give you the middle finger or have sex with you or anything of that nature. It's just where
it's
we
the fuck you
hear
you
your stories. If you would like to access for some advice, share your hotels, rant against the white cishet patriarchy, please send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com, and please include your pronouns. Also, because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail too. We'll play it and respond to it on the show, so you can drop us a line at 404-491-9158. This is a 24-hour fucking hotline. 5 a.m. and I'm up having phone sex with yo.
So horny.
Now I'm on the hotline over here fucking with you.
So
let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about bubbles in the tub. Let's talk about making love. Let's talk about you on top. Girl, it's going down. Have a little phone sex, babe.
On hotline.
We have to do one episode where we just fucking sing, man.
Okay, fair. You don't have to convince me. It's fine.
I'm already ready.
Yeah. next time.
So yeah, that's our voicemail number. It's in the show notes for this episode, as is the email. Today we have a voicemail, not a letter, from Joanna, and the subject is top secret motherfuckers on dating apps. I wrote that subject line myself, but here we go.
Hey hoes, this is Joanna, pronouns she, her. I just am catching up on some older episodes, and I'm on number 17, No Boom Boom in the Zoom Room. And when Akua was talking about that guy that was talking about his top secret coding, I currently live in San Francisco, and that is pretty much what they all do. All these tech guys think that is like this allure. We're tech people, actually, because I know women do it too. This allure behind, like, oh, I work for Google and Apple, and I'm a secret high tech coder, blah blah blah, but I can't tell you anything. I just thought that was hilarious, and it made me crack up so hard. Anyways, just wanted to share that. Akua, you are not alone in this. This is a hard time. All right, well, have a good day, y'all. Much love. Thanks for all the laughs and all the good ass education. And I think I said my name was Joanna. Anyways, whatever. I messed up.
Bye. you did great, honey.
Take your time, baby. Well, thank you for that, Joanna. I'll link no boom boom in the Zoom Zoom room in the show notes, but basically Aku was talking about this man who she was talking to, I think on a dating app, who was like, oh, what's your profession? He was like, oh, I'm a coder. She was like, okay, like, what does that entail? He was like, I can't reveal that, like, being mad fucking on Batman with the shits. I code things. So I wanted to take the time to talk about niggas who be lying about their jobs or who be mad secretive about their jobs. I've dated some people who were in tech. I didn't get that kind of response, so that's kind of weird. But one time, there was a nigga who I had sex with, and I wish that I didn't do that in hindsight, but I had sex with him, and I was, like, interested in him, and he... I was like, oh, so do you have social media? And he was like, no, I don't have social media. And I was like, oh, okay. And he was like, I don't even think I asked why. Niggas be fucking lying without prompts. Mm-hmm. Like, just like fucking being deceitful for no reason. I hate that. I hate that so much. Compulsive. But yeah, like, what's your problem? Are you okay? Therapy. Body reads the score. But he was like, yeah, the army doesn't let you. There'd be too much information on it, so I don't have any social media. And I was like, I know people in the army. I didn't push him on it, but I was like, oh, maybe there's something to it in that he has, like, a different position than I've ever known about a person having or whatever. So I accepted it. But I didn't believe him because, of course, when I got, like, access to a fucking computer, you know my ass was on Facebook. And
yeah, bitch, you try to find these niggas.
Yeah, I find people immediately, man. It's not even
Sam's
hard.
Sam's really, like, good at that, y'all.
I have an FBI hat that's on the bookshelf in Wig. Yeah, that is the John Cena hat. That's on the bookshelf in Wig Crucifix Studios. It's not because I'm actually employed by the FBI, but I do have a particular set of skills, nigga. Yeah, so I found him immediately, and then I found out he was married, and I'm like, oh, that's why you lied about your fucking job being so secret that you don't have social media. So there's my little story about niggas lying.
So fucking sad.
And then, okay, so, like, I found him, like, immediately. And then, like, months later, because I would just, like, look at his Facebook or whatever. I don't even be looking at people's Facebook to, like, care about them. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, oh, that's funny. Like, it's fodder. Like, ah, oh, what is this nigga up to?
You look at another baby over there. It's like
yeah.
Eating another sour gummy worm. Just for the fucking heck of it. It's sour, but you like it.
It tastes a little good. So yeah, I would just, like, look every couple of months or whatever. And then one day I found out that he blocked me. And I'm like, oh, so you, after all of these months, nigga, he works in the army and he worked in, like, IT in the army. So, like, you're the computer, nigga. But it took you that long to finally find and block me. But here I am snooping on you the whole time. I also knew his wife's name. So I was just like, oh, just to see if they didn't fucking delete their Facebooks. And then I went to his wife's account.
So the wife never blocked you?
I don't think she knows I exist.
Yo, look.
Niggas
will take their significant other's phones and then block people while they're sleeping.
Oh, that's a good point. That is interesting that he didn't do that.
I checked my block list one day and I was like, how the fuck do I have all these people blocked? And Tashawn took my phone while I was sleeping. Yeah, I'm saying you're fucking ain't, bitch. So he took my phone while I was sleeping and he blocked his girlfriend.
So I think that man thought that I was not who the fuck I am. So I think that he thought, oh, maybe one day if she does find me, this is cutting off access to who my wife is.
He thought he was, just late, like, to the game. He went and found
you,
not knowing so just in that case, you already found him.
Exactly. Yeah.
We are the FBI, silly. We was gonna find you and me. Even if you gave us a fake name. We was gonna find you. You've never been low. There's nothing low about you.
We gonna find you. You can run and tell that homeboy. You don't know that?
No.
Fucking Antoine Dotson? He's climbing through your window.
Oh, nigga, it wasn't, that shit was a fucking, you just sing the remix.
I did sing the remix. Yes. I don't like the remix.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. I don't know the remixes. I only know the nigga when he was
talking. You got to know the memes. You got to know the fucking remixes.
Nah,
you
got to know the remixes. I'm not a YouTube nigga. Let me see. Dude, all right. So my take with that is I wouldn't have niggas lying about super secretive jobs, but it's mostly because I tend to have like super secretive jobs, have a whole security clearance. So it's like, you can't fool me with that one. However, I did have niggas lying about working, and they didn't have
these niggas jobs. Are Tommy from fucking Martin.
OD, always like, yeah, I got your money. Like, no, these niggas legit. I definitely dated a guy who always had a job, but he never had a job. He never had a job. I think
his whole life, this nigga never did summer youth.
yo. The one time that I found out that he had a job was way after we broke up. And that was the first time that I had any inclination that he had a job. Other than that, he was like a job core ass nigga, but not job core, like one of those tech schools that, you know, just kind of really take your money. And he's
job core doesn't take your money. Job core is free.
He never did anything. So, but he definitely acted like he did stuff. He didn't do stuff. As an adult, I know that this nigga was a homosexual.
So, to posit, what do you think he was doing all day? Was it smoking weed? Was it playing 2K?
I don't think he was smoking.
Was it moving weed from house to house?
I think.
Was it playing basketball?
I think he was just hanging out in Hood.
Okay. He was in front of the corner store ass nigga. Oh, he was a rapper. That's what he was doing all day.
Yes, because he took me out for
How
my
was he paying
birthday.
For studio time?
How's he playing for what? Studio time? He wasn't. Mm-hmm. Says they don't. He was rapping in studios. This nigga is demo.
Oh, he
tape.
Was. I yell into my fucking laptop
and
speakers.
He was like his BlackBerry and shit. Like, I don't know. He didn't have a fucking job, bro. And I'm sure I've definitely dated more niggas like that, or at least have had sex with niggas who just did not have jobs. And now, granted, I ain't classes. So yes. I ain't gonna knock you for not having a job. It's the acting like you have a job. Acting like you got somewhere to be, even though you don't. I know you don't got a 9-to-5. So you just gonna, you kicking me out just to stay home and jerk off and then invite me back over. Like, I know you're not going nowhere. I know you're not going nowhere because you spent a whole unfiltered 36 hours with me. In my house. So fucking, I know he wasn't working.
Y'all both leave the crib and he gets in his car and drives around the block once. But like, you forgot something.
And then come back. And niggas
and
like,
you're pointing at each other. Fucking Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man.
It's like, I left something. You didn't leave something. Don't lie, nigga. You back in your basketball shorts. You got no shoes on. You got no shirt on. Like, the do-rags on. You got on white socks.
Work was canceled.
So I go to sleepaway camp. I was just getting I like to wear my sleepaway camp clothes in the house so I don't forget them. But I forgot them, so I went and I had to put them on. Yes, these niggas
That's
be lying.
Funny.
Oh my
fucking,
gosh.
The new version of that is like he's working from home, but he just opens the laptop. Fucking switches between Facebook, porn, and Twitter all day.
Like, that's the only three recent websites is just Facebook, porn, Twitter, and that's it. At least, like, man. I'm really appreciative now of, like, I'm dating niggas who, like, have jobs that I can look up. I was able to verify that he had the job that he had.
If you are dating a fake motherfucker who's very top secret about their job or doesn't have
nigga
job
work for the CIA...
That would be pretty cool. Like, aside from, like, the fucking damage to the Black community. That
no, facts. I know, like, deep down
but,
inside.
But, like, the coolness of it. Like,
the secretness of it.
Okay, well, if this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense of the words, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and let everyone you know that you love these motherfucking hoes. We appreciate all of you.
Yes, we do. And last reminder. So write it down, get it right, check it once, check it twice. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so by following us at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter. Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook with the G. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hope Uprising. That's CUMMUNITY. It says spell it out, but we don't spell it out in this house. We sing it,
sing it out.
In this house.
We sang it out?
We sang it out with an A and never an I. And head to innerhopeuprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, Pay a Ho, or check out merchandise and buy our last shirt. You know how special you'll be if you buy that last shirt, because you'll be the last nigga to have that shirt. Because I feel like when we release shirts, it can't be the same shirt.
Like, it's not gonna look like that anymore.
It's gonna be a different shirt. And this shirt is still, it's still a dope ass design, and it's just gonna get doper. But you'll have the limited edition second round draft. This is a second round draft of shirts. Oh, and I said I was gonna bring my dogs out for the final.
Oh yeah, you did say that. They're
fiending right now.
We all get right, to see later. This is a, we have a podcast YouTube exclusive in which we get to see the Dojas, man. The Doja dogs. Oh man, look at these guys. Oh, you're the two who have been making all that motherfucking noise out there,
mad little
quiet,
right
now.
Yeah. These niggas. Look at him laying on the book, because the body
just
keeps
wanted
scoring.
To read it.
The
he
body
just
keeps
to read
scoring.
It.
Nova, say hi.
Hi, Nova.
Can you hear her smelling it?
Yeah, a little bit.
She's like, get the fuck off me, bitch. All right.
Did you give us your social medias?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that thing. You can follow me at the_body. That's THEE_body on Twitter. And vanta.black with a Q on Instagram. And OnlyFans/... Go on my Twitter and find my OnlyFans.
It's also in the show notes for this episode.
Yeah, that.
And you can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen San Diego on Instagram as well. Have a great week.